Pierce, it's great to be here in Lexington, Kentucky, my first trip and first time to one of your symposiums. I'd like you to first tell me a little bit about yourself and your company.
Yes, well, first of all, welcome, and hope you are thoroughly enjoying yourself. You will admit that we have organized some very good weather for you, which is actually typical of this time of the year for Lexington. I was actually born not in Lexington, as my accent probably tells you. I was born in Ireland, and in fact lived in Ireland so far for more years than I have lived in the United States, getting close to being 50-50. But our company produces a range of natural ingredients which enhance animal production. Now, this is a little bit ironic and unusual because I come to this not as an agricultural person, but as a brewer. My background is in brewing. I did a PhD in this area at the University of Birmingham in England. I came to this country basically to bring technology in the area of alcohol production, what we used to call gasohol, now we call ethanol. But we switched about, perhaps 5, 10 years ago, or more, 15 years ago, our direction. And that direction was to go not just for alcohol ingredients, but rather to go for ingredients going into animal production. So what have we done? I think we've revolutionized the ag industry. We've revolutionized the way people look at raising their animals. We brought up alternatives to antibiotics. We've drawn attention to the fact that most of our animals are deficient in certainly antioxidants, in particular selenium, and that therefore we indirectly are deficient in these things. So it's this whole a full cycle nutrition that we're involved in. Of course, now I'm almost back to square one, and the reason I say that is that, of course, here in the United States, and indeed around the world, we're suffering from what? High prices. When I came to the United States, corn was $2 a bushel. That was 1978, 79. Exactly, corn was still $2 a bushel at the beginning of last year. It's 4 and 5 now, and going up. So this means we're going to have to focus on alternative raw materials. This means fiber. We're literally going to have a mountain of fiber, cellulose. And ironically, that's what we've been doing all along. We built a plant to break down cellulose. Now we're using that plant to make a product to improve productivity. And we're using that plant, incidentally, as the stepping stone for cellulose to ethanol. It's a little bit of deja vu, a little bit returning to one's roots.
Well, we certainly, because of prices, because of wanting to become independent of foreign sources of oil here in this country, we've seen the ethanol boom, and it is taking place. Your company and the research that you're doing then is looking at ways to make the production process more efficient or to get more value out of the byproducts and looking at those new feedstocks or types of materials that we will convert into ethanol.
Again, excellent question, and as often it's a little bit of each of those. The fact is, prices are going up, and therefore we have to be able to use alternative raw materials, or we have to make sure we don't waste those that we have. So our technology, using what we call SSF, ensures that we focus on fiber, the existing fiber in corn, I don't waste it, and we focus on fiber in things like distillers' dried grains. And at the same time, we say, hey, why can't we start to use switchgrass? Why can't we start to use sawdust for our animals? Equally, there's an opportunity, of course, and probably the first opportunity, is to use that biomass for ethanol. Think about this. We've got 32 years of oil left. We have 64 years of natural gas left. We have 120 years of coal left. That's all. So we have to realize there's an urgency to this thing. And with that urgency comes new technology. With that urgency comes a focus of the government on this particular area. Well, the ironic thing is that Alltech has been doing this directly or indirectly for 25 years.
Well, it's amazing to see what has happened with the growth in the use of ethanol as a fuel additive here in the United States. Next week, I'll be at Indianapolis for the Indy 500, where those cars will run on 100% ethanol for the first time. So as you look at the consumer, I think growing consumer interest, awareness, and hopefully for on the ethanol producer's part, demand, it is really putting pressure on the feedstocks.
It's putting pressure on the feedstocks, and that's exactly how it should be. Because any time you put pressure on the feedstocks, you put pressure on the scientists, then guess what? Good things happen. I think it was Kennedy who said, you know, you need a project, and this let this be our project. Well, I would say converting cellulose to feed for our animals, converting cellulose to fuel for our cars is the next Manhattan Project. And we need to understand that, and we need to get behind it. And where better than the United States, where, let's face it, we have technology unrivaled around the world.
Well, your symposium here, the subject, the theme, food and fuel. You're not posing that as an either-or question, because I guess we're doing all of that, right?
Of course.
So what I know the company doesn't probably have a sort of official position on this, or maybe does it when it comes to ethanol and some of the mandating that's going on legislatively that's also increasing the demand for the product.
Ask yourself, why is it that the government is mandating? And ask yourself, should the government be mandating? And ask yourself, is this smart? Is this stupid? Ask yourself all those questions. One thing our government is not, they are not stupid. You may not agree with their politics, you may be on one side or another, but they are not stupid. And in my opinion, the policy that they've put forward is one of urgency. They've said, we want to set a target, and I think the target is 35 billion gallons of ethanol. Now think about it. At 100 gallons of ethanol per ton, that means 350 million tons of corn, if you prefer. That's 13 billion bushels. We don't produce 13 billion bushels. So what's it all about? What it's all about is saying, guys, that's our target. That's where we're going. And two things have to happen. Either we get more corn, which we can get some more, but not that amount more, or we don't waste the corn. Those two go together. And the second thing is, what about all the switchgrass? Let me give you a figure. The United States produces about 350 million tons of corn, which, as I say, would give the government's mandate. But the United States produces 1 billion tons of switchgrass, waste fiber, etc. At 70 gallons per ton, that would give you 70 billion gallons, twice the president's target. Another way of looking at it would give you 50% of all the gasoline imports in the United States, and the United States would not have to import gas. So I think we need to see things in a way, I say simplicity, but maybe I should say clarity. 32 years of oil, 64 years of gas, 120 years of coal, one hand. Limited amount of grains, which yes, we're going to use some of, and yes, we need to use some of, but an unlimited amount of fiber. And think of this also. It has literally taken years to capture the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and convert it into coal. Biomass does that capturing in a couple of months. And that's why biomass is so important.
So to finish up here, I know we've got to move on. It does sound, though, that this provides some great opportunities for your company as you look to the future.
Unbelievable opportunities because, excuse me, once again, it's a challenge. And what scientists are good at is responding to challenge. And isn't that what life's about? You give a challenge. We need to be like a seven-year-old child, and we need to approach these things with a can-do, anything-is-possible attitude. And we also need to be like some of these PhD students, poor, hungry, and driven. And then you succeed.
Thank you very much, Pierce. Appreciate it.